The following audio is from North Life Church in Fort McMurray, Alberta. More information is available at northlifechurch.ca.
Thank you, worship team, for leading us today with those great songs of worship and praise. How many are here? Raise your right hand. How many plan on listening? Raise your right hand. How many don't plan on listening, no matter who's up here? Okay, one of you. I'll meet you after the service, and we'll have a two-hour counseling session. It's difficult for a grandfather not to brag on the grandchildren. I used to hear people saying years ago when I was much younger and we just had our children, showing the pictures, you know what I'm saying? And I thought, why don't they just get over that and leave us alone? Well, now I understand, right? It's funny how we know so much about something we don't know anything about. And so we keep getting every day some new pictures of grandchildren. And especially the new grandson. He's good looking like his grandfather Summers. And he's brilliant like his grandmother Summers. There's been a saying that children change everything. Do you remember when you had your first? You might say it's been quite a while ago, but some of you, you've got new babies, and some of you have new babies coming. And it's just wonderful when the children begin to arrive. However, you understand, don't you, that when children arrive, it changes everything. Amen? Changes everything. And it's good. It's good. Yet it does change everything. When somebody new arrives in the house, things are never the same. Some of you, remember when you got married? Some of you are newlyweds this year. Some of you, it's been a few decades. But did anything change when somebody new moved into the house? Oh, yeah, it really did. You see, when somebody moves in, things are rearranged. Even a boarder, even a renter in your house or whatever, you know, they change things too. Especially when a baby arrives, you get everything ready. You try your best to get the room ready. You know, you get the crib, you get the change table. Isn't that exciting? You get the change table. And you try to put some nice things on the wall because somebody's coming. Somebody's coming. And when they come, things are never the same. I want to remind us today that it is possible to know for sure that you're going to heaven. If this is your last day on earth, God knows, right? We don't. It's good we don't know it. But if this is my final day on earth, am I ready? Am I ready to meet God? Do I know for sure that I'm heaven bound? Or am I just hoping, wishing, waiting? I meet a lot of people that they just hope they'll go to heaven. Well, it's very dangerous to live in such a way and to believe in such a way that you're never sure. But I believe we can be sure that we're going to heaven. So the challenge comes, how can we be sure that we know God? How can we be sure that when it's our, like some of my friends say, when our number is called, how can we be sure that we're ready? Well, there's basically three major ways that we can be sure we're ready. And one of them I shared with us last week. We can be sure by virtue of the written word of God. And I tried to emphasize the written word of God. Would you say those three words, please? The written word of God. And some of the powerful scriptures, that's the Bible, by the way. The written word of God. And I never get over the wonder of having it in my hands. Some of you have it on your cell phone, some your iPad, you know, whatever, wherever it is. But I never get over the wonder that this is the Word of God. Do you believe that? This only is the Word of God. And it's all infallible. It's all inspired. It's all God's God-given. It is still, and it has been since Gutenberg. It is still the bestseller on earth. Isn't that an amazing thing? Still. Because God said, this is not only inspired by me, so what was written by these 40 people is exactly what God wanted. It's not only inspired, but it's preserved by God. And that's why Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall never what? Pass away. That causes me just to go, oh, lovely. That no matter how much this book is attacked, our Lord said, it will never pass away. So therefore, when I began, as especially a child and a young teenager, I began to get into this book. I received my assurance of salvation. I got converted when I was young. I came to Christ. I trusted him. But I had a period of time of uncertainty, and that's when I received, and it's never been shaken again, assurance of my salvation. And that came through the written word of God. And I began to fall in love with the scriptures. These things are written. These things are what? Written that you might know that you have eternal life. Not wish, not hope, not wait to see. But these things are written that you might know that you have eternal life and that you might continue to believe on the name of the Son of God, who is Jesus Christ. So we have the affirmation of the Word of God. Therefore, I think sometimes if we do not spend any time in this book, we begin to wonder if we're saved or not. You see, because we are leaving one of the big three of giving us assurance of salvation. So we are saved, and we know that we are saved by the written Word of God. We are saved by the blood of Christ, and we are assured by the written word of God. Now, this next one, it's better felt than telt. Is that good English? Some of you, English is not your mother tongue, so you're really going to struggle with me today. But this next reality that brings assurance to me that I'm ready to go to heaven, that I do know God, It's and I know I'm in a Baptist church. You understand I have a Baptist head and a Pentecostal heart. Do you understand that? That's who I am. But some things, we do feel it. It stirs us. It's like the new baby arrives and the house is never the same again. It's like we are now married and the place is never the same again. It's like we have an in-law now in living in, never the same again. It's like a board, never the same again. It's like a renter, it's never the same again. And here we have some powerful scriptures that I love. On the day of Pentecost, by the way, means 50. Pentecost means 50. Because Jesus Christ rose from the dead, and then for 40 days after his resurrection, he lived here. Remember? Rose from the dead, 40 days, and then he ascended up into what? Heaven. And 10 days after that, 40 and 10, listen class, 40 plus 10 equals what? You know, I'm saying that intentionally. Because this, just like the death of Christ on the cross, this also is an historical event. It will never be repeated. There's ramifications from it constantly, but it was an historical event. On the 50th day after Jesus rose from the dead, just like he said, I'm going back to heaven. And the disciples were bothered. Oh, don't leave us. Where are you going? Remember that? They were unsettled. He said, I'm going back to heaven. And when I go back to heaven, I will send another comforter. I will send another advocate. I will send another, and the term is paraclete. Turn this down just an inch, please. Can you hear me at the back? Am I blowing away at the front? Okay, it's okay. Not much. Just a little bit because I'm hearing myself. But he said, when I go back to heaven, I will send another comforter, a paraclete. Para means a long slide off. Parachute. If you don't have that on the way down, you're in trouble. Aren't you happy you have your parachute alongside of you? He said, I will send another paraclete. Kalit means kaleo, somebody called alongside. So he said, I'm going back to heaven, and when I go back to heaven, I will send a paraclete. I will send somebody like me, just as powerful, just as wise. I will send somebody like me who shall come alongside of you. And then he also said something that he never said before, because it never happened before. He said, this paraclete, this advocate, this come alongside person like me, he said he will not only be with you, but he shall live what? In you forever. John chapter 14, 15, and 16. This one who's coming shall not only be with you like the old days, but he shall live what? In you, and for how long? Forever. So I will say this, there is somebody who brings us assurance. Not only the objective written word of God, but the a bit more subjective Holy Spirit of God, who enters the life of every Christian. The moment you come to know Christ, the Holy Spirit comes to live within you. Amen? You know, Romans chapter 8 says, if we don't have the Spirit of God, we don't belong to Christ. I'm not one of the ones that say you get Jesus now, and then later you get the Holy Spirit, and you hope you have the Father. No, you never receive a part of God. We have the Father, the Son, and who? The Holy Spirit, three persons, yet he's in what? He's in one. So when you come to Christ, the Spirit of God comes to live in us. And let me say, I don't know about you, but let me say this. When I came to know Christ, my house changed. Somebody came to live in my house. And I have never been the same since. Somebody who has so transformed me and who so works with me day by day and educates me in the Word of God, he has come to live in me. I don't know how it happened. I simply said, Lord, thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. I'm sorry for my sins. And Jesus came into my life. And when I said that, somebody moved in the house. Somebody moved in the house. And his name is the Holy Spirit. He has several names in Scripture. Holy Spirit, Spirit of Truth, Spirit of Holiness. Several names. But he came to live within me. And let me tell you this. I have not been the same since. And I want to just pop into our hearts some beautiful scriptures today. And I hope it'll help us. Scripture says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 22. And he has identified us as his own. Would you say those words, please? And he has identified us as his own. I just want to pause for a second because I'm almost getting Pentecostal now. Trying to restrain myself. And he has identified us as his what? How can we know for sure that we are children of God? How can we know for sure that we're going to heaven when our number is called? Well, it is the written word of God, but the other great affirmer is the Holy Spirit, who identifies us as his what? Own. Some versions say, we have the witness of the Spirit within. There's somebody who now lives in us, the Father, the Son, and who? The Holy Spirit, who affirms, you belong to me. You belong to me. Through the valleys that are more times of struggle, it almost seems that sometimes through the valley we hear that inner affirmation even a little louder. You belong to me. You are mine. You've been purchased by the blood of Christ. Hang in there because he's holding on. And then in the mountaintops of life, when things are going well, you know who we praise the Lord. Because we know He's the one who lives in us. There's a phrase I learned quite a few years ago. It's so deep that I'm still struggling with it. One of my professors years ago mentioned this to me. And it's this: faith has reasons that reason cannot understand. Faith has reasons that reason cannot understand. Now, I don't believe you park your brains at the door when you receive Christ. Because there's so much great evidence that God is and God exists and Christ is who the Scriptures say He is. Yet you and I know that no matter how many arguments we entertain, it is still a step of faith. Don't you agree? Everyone lives by faith. We live by faith in Jesus Christ. Others live by faith in something else, maybe themselves or something else. But we have in the Scripture, this beautiful Scripture, He has identified us as His own by placing the Holy Spirit in our what? Hearts. As the first, I like this, the first installment that guarantees everything He has promised. It's like a down payment on the house that we're going to get it paid off. Then this other beautiful verse, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. And when you believed in Christ, remember that? When you believed in Christ. When you believed in Christ, He identified you as His own by giving you the who? The Holy Spirit. The Spirit is whom He promised long ago. The Spirit is God's guarantee that He will give us the inheritance He promised and that He has purchase us to be His own people. The Holy Spirit came to live within our lives when we trusted Christ, and we begin to receive all the benefits of a child of God. We receive some. We haven't received them all yet. We're not in heaven yet. But we have begun to receive the benefits of being a child of God. Beautiful Scripture. And then this other one that I love in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 13. And God has given us His what? Spirit as proof that we live in Him and He in us. I want to put into our hearts four things very quickly today, and here they are. Before His arrival, there is a time of preparation. How many remember, you can raise your hand if you'd like, how many remember your B.C. days before Christ? How many remember that period of time before you knew Christ? Raise your hand. Yeah, it is significant. Remember? Some of you were, Lord forgive me, some of you were hellions. Some of you were living rough lives. You were far from God. Others were kind of basing your righteousness on your own goodness. You were self-righteous. But for all of us, there was a before Christ time, right? And in that before Christ time, there comes a time in which the Holy Spirit begins to prepare the room for His arrival. You know what it's called in the Bible? It's called conviction. Conviction. You were going straight out with barely any thought of God, let alone Jesus. And you're wholly engrossed in something else. Some of you are going the opposite way, full speed. You see, there's two ways to go to hell. One is a quiet way and one is a rough way. Some, because of self-righteousness, just float on into hell. They don't think they need the Lord. And then others know where they're going, so they just throw off all restraints. And so we were in either one of the two categories. But the Spirit of God began to work in our lives and work in our circumstances to where we begin to hunger for God. We begin to wonder, is there anything beyond what I'm experiencing now? We begin to wonder, can I have a new life? Can my past be put in my past and forgiven? And to begin a stirring within you, because the Holy Spirit was preparing the room for His arrival. And there's some powerful scriptures that really speak to me. Let me just read you a few of the... Here's the preparation before He enters. Listen. When he comes, Jesus is talking in the upper room. And Jesus said this, when he comes, the Holy Spirit. When he comes, he will convict the world of its sin. It's kind of conviction, right? Ooh, there needs to be change. He will convict the world of sin and of God's righteousness. I'm not living rightly. So he began to speak to us about that. So when he comes, he will convict the world of its sin and of God's righteousness and of the coming judgment. You see, for everyone, we will one day stand before a holy God. All of us will. God and me. But the beautiful thing is the next verse. How many remember Monty Roberts, the horse whisperer? You know about him? It's amazing, isn't it? His name is Monty Roberts, and he's called, he's still living as far as I know, he's called the man who whispers to horses, the man who talks to horses. And he, Monty Roberts, when he was younger, I think around 13 years old or so, he would go out in the kind of the his part of the United States, and he'd watch the wild horses running and interacting with each other. And he kept watching them, and he began to realize that they're talking to one another in their language. By their ear movement, by their movements, by the way their heads go. They were talking, and he became quite fascinated. And he began to go back home and tell his dad, who was a breaker of horses. You know, they used to say, you got to break them in, which is quite brutal. And he began to say to his father, you know, we don't have to do it that way. We can gently get these horses to be what they need for us to be. And his father kept saying no. And by his father, well, his father's very hard on him. Say no, forget about that. But he just kept watching. The long and short of that story is that he has changed. Listen, he has changed the world in how people treat horses and how people train horses. He became so effective at simply speaking the horse language and the horse speaking to him that Queen Elizabeth phoned him one day. You imagine, lifting the phone, say, hi, this is Liz. Queen Elizabeth phoned him, contacted him, and said, I've been hearing all that's happening, because she loves horses, of course. I've been hearing all that's been happening about how you train horses. And he was training thoroughbreds to win races, training in ways that nobody had trained before. And now he's trained 15,000 horses. What we used to call it, break them in, those words are not used anymore. Because he learned with a gentle approach to woo them to himself. And he can do it in about 6 minutes. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And why do I say that? You see, before the Spirit of God comes to live in us, he prepares us for his arrival. And it's not a brutal, like, you are a sinner and you're going to hell. Both are real. Both are so. But he comes much more gently. Because remember what John chapter 3 says, God so loved the world, right? That he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. And then the next verse, God sent his son not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Because watch what it says here, which is a beautiful thing. He said the Spirit will come and convince of sin, convince of righteousness, convince of judgment to come. But listen to this. Righteousness is the world's sin is that it refuses to believe in me. You know what he's saying? When the Spirit comes, yes, he will convince of our shortcomings. But our biggest shortcoming is not receiving Christ. It's kind of a gentle approach. You need Jesus in your life. He paid for the penalty, right? Trust him. Trust him. And then it says here, he came into this world. He said, righteousness is available because I go to the Father and you will see me no more. You're not living correctly, but let me remind you this, somebody who lived perfectly. Receive the somebody who lived perfectly. What's his name? Jesus. Jesus, because we never can live up to what we ought to live up to. So Christ becomes our substitute. And by the Holy Spirit, he comes to live in us. And judgment to come, he said, the reality of judgment come is the devil is going to be judged by God, so you don't have to follow him any longer. Trust the Lord. Trust the Lord. That's a gentle approach to come to the Savior, have you? Have you come to God through faith in Christ? So before the Spirit arrives, there's a time of preparation. Then I like this. Upon his arrival, the Spirit makes Jesus prominent. John 15:26 says this. John 15:26, Jesus said, when this Spirit of God comes to live in you, he will make Jesus known to you. I thank God for the Holy Spirit who lives in me today. But you know what happened when he came to live in me? I fell in love with Jesus Christ. And when we sing about him, my heart resonates with that. And I pray in Jesus what? In Jesus' name. You see, the Holy Spirit comes to live in us, not to speak about the Holy Spirit, but to point us to who? Jesus Christ. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. But in some settings, there seems to be so much talk about the Holy Spirit that they forget that he has come to point everybody to Jesus. Not to build himself up, but to build Christ up. So my dear friends, one sign that you are filled with the Holy Spirit is you love Jesus. You like to think about him and pray to him and talk about him. And he comforts you in those challenging times. A good sign you're filled with the Holy Spirit because the Spirit is pointing you to Christ. Beautiful thing. I know that I'm saved because the Spirit of God came to occupy my life, you see. He prepared me and then he came to live within me. And he points me to Jesus Christ who's matchless. Nobody like Jesus. And I know that by virtue of the Spirit of God living in me. Upon his arrival, the Spirit makes Jesus Christ prominent. He lives in the house of my life. Upon his arrival, the Spirit gives me a love for the what? Bible. And John 16:13 says this. When the Spirit comes, he will lead us into all what? Into all truth. Upon the arrival of the Holy Spirit, he brings gifts for service. 1 John 12:1 says, the Holy Spirit comes that he might gift us to do his work. What's the message today? There came a time in which the Holy Spirit came to live in my heart. He gives me assurance that I'm a child of God. The Holy Spirit comes in and makes Jesus Christ real. The Holy Spirit comes in and gives me love for the Bible. The Holy Spirit comes in and gives me a desire to serve Christ with my gifts. So my question for all of us here today, do you know that you know Christ? Do you know that you know him? Not just hope or wish, but you know that you know Christ. In the 1930s, during the Depression years, there was a sheep rancher. Because of the Depression, he got very poor and he was on welfare. And every day he'd go out in the fields and watch his sheep, and he was trying to figure out, how am I ever going to keep things together? His name was Ira Yates. One day when he just thought he's going to lose his farm, can't pay for it, some government people came along and they said, we think there might be oil on your land. Could we drill a wildcat well? You know, could we just sink one down and see what happens? They went down just over, a little over 1,000 feet, and there opened up this whole massive lake of oil. Now, back in those days, you could sign off and get the benefits of at least some of that. It's called the Yates Field, the Yates Pool. And even in 2000, just a few years ago, it's still one of the 10 top producers of oil in West Texas. It's been there all the time. He became a multimillionaire, of course, but it's been there all the time. He just didn't know about it. And let me encourage you today. If you know Christ, there's a source of wealth living within you that is inexhaustible. The Spirit of God lives in you today. He will teach you, lead you, comfort you, guide you, keep you going, educate you. I could say so much more, but he lives in you today. And all God's people said, amen. Father in heaven, thank you for the Holy Spirit who gives us assurance that we are children of God. And I pray that we might sense and know and appreciate his indwelling presence. And Father, I pray for any here without Christ, just speak to their hearts, that they might simply and clearly trust Jesus Christ and thereby receive the Spirit of God. In Christ's name, amen.